yo, yo, what's happening? Welcome to the Grown Man Niche Podcast, and I'm with my brother from another mother.
Bow tie fresh in the building, real dapper like. What's going on, my brother?
I'm chilling, man. Up in my grown man-ish hoodie, man. But let me tell you what happened to me, bro. So, man, I couldn't sleep this morning, man. So I go to sleep about 2:40. Next thing I know, man, my lady wake up. It's like 5 something, man. The daggone furnace, it's on 100 up in here. 100.
That's ugly.
So right now, they fixing my furnace. So if y'all hear any noise, this we keeping it real. We wanted to keep the episode going, man. I didn't want to push it back because we got a real funny episode coming up, man. So both times I was just having some offline conversation. I was like, whoa, we got to say that for the people, man. So
no doubt.
Oh, man, it's getting hot already. Oh, man, so what's going on your way, bro?
Oh, shit, man. I'm low-keying it today, man. This daggone crazy Indianapolis Naptown weather,
man. Naptown all day, man.
60-some-odd degrees yesterday, and I think the high is like 17 right now or something like that. I'm like, man, how do we go from one to the other? Yeah. You know, somewhere Al Gore is like, I told you about global warming.
Hey, bro, let me tell you this, man. It is beyond crazy. Like yesterday, I got rained on. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But man, first of all, we forgot to say this last week, man. Happy Black History Month. Black History is an all-year process, but I know this is the book that has been given that we started years ago. Not us in Bowtie, not us in Grown Money Podcast, but you know, historians of so Black History Month. So also, we want to shout out to Kamala Harris running for president and Cory Booker running for president.
Yeah. So, I was gonna say, Cory Booker, like he about that action, boy.
Yeah,
he ready to rock and roll. So, yeah, like I said, I want to make sure I do my research, kind of look at some of their policy and some of their stances and things like that. And, you know, definitely want to make the best decision possible. You know, for someone that, you know, hopefully is going to make the best decision possible for us as American people. But definite shout out to both of them, putting their names in the hats and, you know, representing for the culture, as they say.
Also, man, I want to rest in peace and give happy birthdays to Trayvon Martin. Would have been 24 this week. Sandra Bland would have been 32, and Jordan Davis, I think he would have been 24 also. See, victims of, you know, who died under weird circumstances. You know, Jordan Davis died because he had his music too loud. Trayvon Martin died because he was walking with a can of iced tea, some Skittles, and Sandra Bland died in a jail under mysterious circumstances. So definitely, we make jokes and everything else, but we're all about Black excellence, and we want our fair shake. And we're going to continue to talk about it. So,
yeah, man. So definitely, and like I said, like Mike J said, rest in peace to those individuals. Happy birthday to those individuals. But don't want to leave out their family and friends and loved ones. Definitely continuing to pray for y'all as well. I know this week was probably difficult times for all of those families. So definitely want to just keep those individuals uplifted in prayer and sending them positive vibes as well.
And man, also, man, we got a rest in peace from a man, Christoph St. John. And for those who don't know, that was Neil Winters from Young and the Restless. And to give a quick backstory, Bowtie and I, we as youngsters, as teenagers, we used to work at our church's mission. And you know, so we met all these ill characters like Reggae Man and Lino. Yo, Reggae Man used to wear Bob Marley jeans, but in the hood in Naptown. And yo, we had dreads. So our church had a mission. So both of our grandmothers ran a mission. They were in the newspaper and everything for giving back to the community. We would help out in the mission. But we knew
we was the labor.
Yeah, we were the labor. Like going to, and that's, I mean, I think it helped us grow us as men. But from 12:30 to 1:30. On them days we were at the mission, we knew to be out of Dodge because they were gonna be watching. They were gonna be watching the Young and the Restless in the basement of the church. So it would be like a cast of church people who will come throughout the week. But you knew it was gonna be all the women watching it. And I spent a lot of time with all my grandmothers, so I was a Young and the Restless watcher. So I remember when Neil came on the show. I've always had dreams that I could work at Newman Enterprises with Victor Newman, running that book side by side and beating up Jack Abbott from Jabot Cosmetics. But maybe since Neil is gone, I need a new brother on there. So Young and the Restless Holler, man, Mike J, man, I'm talking about get y'all real in General City, man. You know,
I think Mike J's trying to get on there and pull him an Olivia. Wasn't that Neil's wife?
Yeah, No. That was Olivia. That was Malcolm's wife. No, Neil's wife was Drusilla, bro. That was
Drusilla, yeah.
Story, right? Like I said, I rode this Young and the Restless action tough. Tough, Jack. Like I said, man, I always wanted to work in Newman Enterprises and run that mug with Victor side by side. as my white OG along with Ric Flair. But, you know.
Hey, man, Victor Newman wasn't no plaything, boy. Victor Newman hit a boy with that daggone karate kick in a minute. Like, man, how the hell this old-ass dude's leg move like that?
speaking of old-ass dudes, we're going to talk about an old-ass dude who's out here wilding later, out here trying to get that action on. You know what I'm saying? We'll talk about that cat later. But, hey, bro, so, you know, let's jump into that damn Trump news, man. So this week I read this article. They're talking about executive time, how Trump spends 60% of his days in executive time and no one knows what he's really doing. So, you know, we put this up on our Twitter. So what do you think Trump is doing during, quote, unquote, executive time?
For those of you who didn't see the Twitter and see my response in my post, I think 45 might be spending a little time getting to know himself in executive time.
Oh, yeah. I could tell you how executive time starts off. He gets up, turns on Fox and Friends, talks to the TV like it's going to talk back to him. You know, he probably eats a fillet of fish for breakfast, you know, with extra cheese.
Extra tartar.
Tartar. And then also a side of the mayo to dip the fries in with a Diet Coke. Then he probably fantasizes about Stormy, you know, and then he sits back, probably goes in there and, you know, probably does whatever. Then he probably, you know, he probably takes a dump. You know, gets himself together and then goes ahead and knocks one out and then goes ahead to the office. Then they said he has lunch from like 12. So he starts his day at 11. Then he has lunch at like 12:30. Then he like stops at like 5. Yo, he's like still in time. Now, Bowtie, you work for a health organization.
He said he's still in time.
Yeah, so you work for a health
corporation.
You work for a health organization. If you've seen someone higher leadership doing that, do you think you could get them out the paint?
In my current role, it's my responsibility to get them out the paint. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to address it, you know. But this guy is, you know, he's on another level. Definitely on another level, man.
So, all right. So, he does that, man. So, I think he's fine. I think he's talking back to Fox and Friends and getting to know himself. And he's probably taking calls from, like, Sean Hannity and all that type of stuff. And they bigging him up. Oh, Sean, you're such a great patriot, you know, talking all that crazy stuff. But, yo,
you know, another thing I think he might be doing during executive time, he might be working his burner Twitter accounts.
Oh, I think the burner Twitter's probably nuts. Yo,
yeah, he definitely probably got a couple burner Twitter accounts and making things pop off during the executive time.
I'm sure his burner Twitter is nuts because he be talking mad reckless now.
His regular Twitter.
Can you imagine Trump's burner Twitter? Yo, he probably every racial epithet you can think of in his world. You know, Trump probably – he probably pulling up stuff like in South Africa calling people kafirs. You know, he probably going back to that old school.
Cap out.
Yeah, he's probably going back to the old, like, he's like, oh, word? Yo, I got this Confederate book here with to call a black person out their name. Trump probably saying some shit we ain't never heard of. You probably taking every bit of mayo from white hate around the world, putting in his burner Twitters. Yo, I'm sure them must be sick. And you know he probably following some sick-ass porn shit, too.
Oh no, like, the smut.
Yo, beyond the smut. Yo, beyond Ebony Gale smut. I'm a smut.
Oh damn.
Yo, this is the dude they said allegedly, you know, might have been out here, you know, a PPP on you in Russia. So you know, no telling what my man is out there looking at and telling people, man. So no telling. He probably be out there trying to spam over President Obama all the time, you know, saying crazy stuff to him. He probably got an aide that makes him create some new Twitter accounts all the time, just in case he gets blocked by certain people. So he keep going.
Hey, Prez. he probably be hitting Barack up like that. Hey, Prez.
Did you find your birth certificate? <You know. laughs> Yo, so
my president's black too.
Yeah, coon. Yo, so did you check out the State of the Union, bro?
Yeah, I caught about, I want to say probably like 10 minutes of it. Then I couldn't stomach it anymore, and I just dipped off. I couldn't deal with it, man. I'll take that back. I probably got through about 15 minutes of it and was just like, this guy. When he got to the little, can't think of her name, not trying to minimize her, but the African-American lady that he pardoned or
got
released. He got to her, and then there was another gentleman, another black guy that he helped out, and It was just kind of like, yeah, look at my blacks.
Yeah.
Look what I'm doing. You know, I help black people. It was just one of those moments where I'm like, you know what, I can't go through this anymore. And then the black dude, I forgot his name, but he stood up before the president even said his name. Like, yep, this is my time. It's like somebody tapped him on the shoulder. He's like, this is my time.
Yeah, I ain't with this shine again.
Yeah, he was waving real strong. He stood up the whole time, like flexed the jacket a little bit. Yeah. I'm like, brother, he's using you, brother.
Yeah, man. Shout out to that. But yo, I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi. Did you see that clap that she gave?
Oh, Pelosi was petty as hell.
Hey, man. Shout out to
Pelosi.
We have been watching like John Boehner do that stuff to Obama for all those years. Now, to quote the great brother Malcolm X, the chickens have come home to roost.
Oh,
man. Boy. She smacked them hands together. And I felt like the mayo just was just coming from his pores. Like, you know, he was hot.
Pelosi was like, she went like straight 45-year-old black auntie mode, where, yeah, you know, the black auntie with the mink and it's, yeah, real ill. She always wear the sunglasses even in the house. But she looked down at you like she, yeah, Pelosi was like real smug. Black auntie mode. I was like, okay, Pelosi, I see you. Yeah. I see you out there making things happen.
And for anybody who don't, go ahead, bro.
I was gonna say, I can't think of the Hispanic sister's name that was sitting over with the women of Congress. She did not clap once. She didn't stand.
You talking about AOC? The young.
Yes.
Yeah, she's like 29. Yeah, yeah, I know her. I follow her on Twitter. I know her as AOC. I should probably, you know, find her name, because, you know, we try to be professionals on this unprofessional Out the Trunk podcast and everything. Like, but, you know,
hey, man, she was grimy too. I think her and Pelosi was
Alexandria Cortez. I'm messing up her name, but, you know, she's AOC on Twitter. Y'all know who we're talking about. You know.
Yeah, man. She, her. Like I said, I think her and Pelosi were kind of feeding off of each other, bro. Cause they both of them was like just in their whole bag, man. I was here for it. I was loving it.
Hey, bro, they is out here wilding, man. So, you know, shout out to them, man. Anytime you can show Trump up, you know, that's all for me, man. So, yo, man, let's get to the mayo, bro. I spent a lot of mayo this week, man. So,
I was gonna say, man, you want to sprinkle in some of that Bezos talk?
Oh, bro, that's what I'm saying. let's talk about Jeff. Jeff has a lot of action. So we talked about Jeff before. So for y'all don't know, man, Jeff Bezos is the CEO of Amazon. I think he's worth like $160 billion, and he has more money
billion
than Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, because he doesn't give charitable contributions like those two. So that shows you how Jeff gets down. Jeff is the type of cat that took his friend's wife.
Jeff got a t-shirt to say, fuck them kids.
Yeah. Look at Jordan. I like your style, brother. old man. So Jeff is out here wilding. So, you know, like we talked about this earlier, you know, on a few episodes ago, like, what would you do if Jeff was out here sending Amazon Prime deliveries to your queen? You know, Amazon got this wrong. Well, Jeff then allegedly got caught with the hammer out, and not the pistol, the hammer as in his genitals. So he's in the National Enquirer, like, yo, run us this dough, Jeff, or we're going to be out there and put the pink hammer out there. You know, Jeff is like, no, I ain't going to do it. So we fully expect to see a disgusting picture of Jeff Bezos' hammer out. So like I said.
Jeff Bezos said, yeah, go ahead and put it out there. The top is not back. Yeah. Y'all getting all skin.
Hey, yo, Jeff probably, yo, they said Jeff had the white towel, wedding ring on, and shorty was out there in the negligee. Damn, dog, you gonna take your man's woman and have her in the negligee? I can accept if y'all got old freak nasty, like a color purple fuck. But damn, you got my woman out here dressing up in a teddy to fuck Jeff Bezos? Oh, bro.
Hey, man.
Bro,
hey,
can you imagine?
Like, it sounds like Bezos was channeling his inner Ray J, you know, yeah, putting it on film with the
shout out to young Ray J, man. Ray J older than us. Anytime you can take the hammer off the towel and get that face action, though. A legend. Ray J had the top down convertible joint, crazy. You know what I'm saying,
man. That's before Ray J had the flex fit glasses. Yeah, imagine he had the flex fit glasses on that bad boy. Pull them lenses down.
Oh Now, gotcha. I got the flex foot hammer with the robe, and I'm pulling the hammer out. Like, you ain't gonna tell me nothing, dog. I might, you know, shout out to Lex Steele, put my foot on the bed. You know what
I'm saying? Oh, no. Damn.
Yo, man, shout out to the man hammer, bro. But, yo. Man hammer. Oh man, so Jeff.
Shout out to Jamarcus Russell too.
Oh yeah, shout out to, yeah. That was a random thing. One day we'll have to explain about the illness and randomness of the man hammer. Wasn't Allen Iverson a man hammer too?
Allen Iverson was too.
Yo, let me ask you a question, damn, bro. So what if?
Oh shit, we about to go down a damn rabbit hole.
No. I'm just asking, man. So like, you know, we're trying to be, you know, we're trying to grow our podcast. And yo, what if my man named you as one of the man hammers? Would you feel like, you know, would you feel like honored? Would you be like, oh, you know, what's the criteria? Or you just get that nigga denied, like, yeah, you know it. Like, what would your thought be?
Hey man, I just roll with it. Be like, shout out, man. Shout out to an OG, man. And let, you know, pump up the podcast. Let's get a interview going. I just roll with it, man. Yeah, I have a T-shirt that says bow tie fresh, and underneath it is man hammer.
Like I said, dog, we ever interviewed that, even we'll probably be on the phone, I'd have to lights out my headset and computer.
Hey man, brother, like Bro Ty Fresh was man hammered this morning.
Oh, damn. Oh, shout out. Shout out that.
Oh man.
Hey, let's get a mayo to Gina Rodriguez, bro. So you know, Gina out here wilding. You know, she's saying that Liam Neeson can't be a racist because he had his tongue down Viola Davis's throat. Number one, she makes it sound like Viola Davis is an attractive woman. And number two, she makes it sound like racist never didn't have, you know, didn't do, you know, do racist stuff and be sexually active with the people who were underneath them. You know, like somebody like Thomas Jefferson, you know. And he had his slaves and everything else, but he had babies with Sally Hemings. So like I said, man, between Jeff and Michelle, I think this goes to the aioli. Let's sprinkle with a little bit of paprika and a little bit of Hellman's, because this is about mayo at its finest, man. So, do we have any more mayo, bro? Do we? I think
that one really just took the cake, bro. I mean, you out here like Mike J said. Number one, you out here defending Liam, but two, the comment like, oh, he can't be a racist, yeah, just Viola Davis, like. Like Viola Davis is, you know, less than human, or you know, less than attractive, or like, gosh, he kissed her. Yeah. He can't. Like, I didn't like the tone of that. It was a nasty undertone. And like Mike J said, this is that extra, you know, that extra saucy aioli. You know,
yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah, this is like the Big Mac with extra. But you get not only getting the Big Mac sauce, but you getting the extra like mayo on the side too. Like, oh, let me dip this in there.
Dip it in there.
So let's top
it up with top it up.
Yeah, man. So let's get to the sit on the Twizzler, bro. We're gonna go right into Liam Neeson, man. Liam said that his homegirl got raped 40 years ago, or however long, by a black man. So he wanted to walk the streets and kill any black person. Bowtie, I want to opine on this, but I want to give you the chance first before I address Mr. Taken.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, man, Liam better take his old punk ass Taken ass on somewhere. Yeah, this ain't Taken, and you ain't got a stunt double, buddy.
I understand
you being upset about your friend, you know, being raped or whatnot. You know, that's terrible for anyone to ever be raped or in any form of sexual assault. I understand as a friend you upset about it, but the comment, you know, I'm just going to go around and kill a black person or an innocent black person.
He called him a black bastard.
Black bastard.
They said it means something over in Ireland. So that,
like, come
that
on, bro. You doing a little bit too much. So yeah, Liam, you might have gotten taken down a notch. I liked your first Taken movie, but I don't really know how much I can rock with you after something like that. Because yet and still, even if, you know, if he said, you know, I want to whoop the dude's ass who done this, I want to whoop the black dude's ass that done this, you know, it'd still be sketchy, but I can understand your frustration. But you talking about just going around killing any black bastard, random black bastard? Nah, bro, can't fuck with it. The words of Mike Singletary, can't do it. Not going to happen.
So imagine this. Man, you remember that? Here come Liam Neeson walking down the streets like the white, little white dude from Streets of Rage on Sega. And, yo, my man didn't even have the hammer, bro. He had like a crowbar. That man had the Jewel Shillelagh from the Notre Dame USC game. What you gonna do, man? Man, Liam would have walked to any hood in America. They would have fucked Liam's ass all the way up and put the hammer on Liam and you know pop that shit off, man. So Liam, you can go ahead and take this damn sit on the Twizzler from the Grown Man Ish podcast. And you know, I know we live in, we shouldn't cancel people. Liam is canceled. Take your taken. Nine.
Cancel.
Oh, you know, wasn't that in one of the movies? Wasn't my man acting like a wolf or some shit like that? Something crazy.
Something like that.
Yo, man, fuck out of here, Liam. So, Liam, man, you can go ahead and die on the Twizzler, man. And since you hunting for black bastards, you know, hopefully maybe one of these black bastards put that 4-5 to you. But you talking about you walking around like you the dude from, like you, what's my man from Karate Kid? What's the sensei from Karate Kid? What was his name? The sensei from Karate Kid, from Cobra Kai.
From Cobra Kai? Oh, man, I can't think of his damn name now. Man. You'd think that I would know this. It's one of my favorite movies.
Hell yeah, but he walking around as a Creasy, not Creasy, but yeah, he walking around like he that man from the Cobra Kai, you know, like he gonna bust open the window and everything when Mr. Miyagi got in that ass at the end. Man, get the fuck out of here, man. So, I don't know, bro. So, but other man, so on to, and we'll talk,
John Creasy.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess Liam Neeson think he's John Creasy, man. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, man. Take your Streets of Rage watching ass and get the hell up out of here. But, man, I want to talk about, before we transition to what's going on in Virginia and Gucci and everything, I want to talk about Bowtie. You talked about how those officers mishandled that young lady. It was like five officers child.
High school. Yeah, high school in Pennsylvania. And I'm trying to go back to that story because it was, number one, it was vile, but number two, it was just one of them things that was just like, okay, if you were supposed to be cops or security or whatnot, there's no way in hell that you were de-escalating anything at the way they were manhandling this young lady, this child. But again, it was a high school in Pennsylvania, Hazleton area high school. And the female student, I believe, I wouldn't say causing a disturbance, but I think she was just kind of like in an argument or something of that nature with another student and wasn't, you know, kind of calming down after she was told. So it was four police officers that literally, like, one officer had her in an arm bar. Another officer, like, had her wrist. You know how cops kind of, like, bend your wrist a certain way? He had her wrist like that. Then this other officer comes and just, like, slams her face down. And that's when some of the other students, like, slams her face down on the table. And some of the other students started to crowd around and was like, you know, hey, that's bullshit. You know, you don't need to do that, so forth and so on. So they kind of let her up a little bit and kind of like started to back off a little bit. And the little girl started to say something. So then the officer that like had her in an arm bar, like he starts using his fist and literally like punching her like in her lower abdomen thigh area for her to bend over so they can try to cuff her. But like literally like punching her.
Yeah.
So things kind of got escalated, you know, more students, like another young lady like stood up on the table and was trying to like get in the middle of them. Another young man was trying to get in like, yo, you know, this is ridiculous. There's no reason for you to be doing this, which they're right. They're all children. But for me, I'm just like, you are four adult police officers handling, I believe she was 16. Anyway, a child.
Child.
Doing this to a child. It's pathetic. It's ugly. It's sickening. It's disturbing. And in my opinion, I think those officers have some level of accountability. I should say some. They have accountability. And they need to be held accountable for their actions. It's just flat out bullshit. Even if the student was being completely disruptive or, you know, let's say she's involved in a fight or whatever. Let's say she is all the way in the wrong. There's still a way that she should, that situation should have been handled. And those de-escalate it. Exactly. So, again, I'm going to try to keep track of this story and just kind of see what comes of it. But I definitely think those officers need to be punished and held accountable for their actions. And they can all sit on that they can sit on that jumbo-sized pack of Twizzlers, all five of them. They can split that one pull and peel and sit on a damn Twizzler. Because that's bullshit. They should. Our young black children, male or female, should not be subjected to this type of behavior. We are not subhuman.
Not at all. So I mean, let's jump into like what's going on in Virginia, bro, with the Democrat Party. Now I am admittedly a Democrat, and you know, the governor out here getting caught up with the blackface. Yo, the first picture, he said it was me. It was him, allegedly him in blackface and somebody in a Klan outfit. And I always want to know, number one, where the hell do you get a Klan outfit unless you in the Klan? It ain't no, you can't go to party. You can't go to Party City and be like, yo, let me get that Klan outfit. Oh yeah, I want to be the head. I want to be the head Klan in charge. You know what? I don't know the Klan name.
The Imperial Wizard.
Yeah, it's, you know,
Red Dragon.
Yeah, it's like, yo, because you know that's a different color for it. But I'm like, so where you get that joint? And number two, you see my man out there. Then he said that after that it wasn't him. And he said that he knew that it was hard. He didn't knew it wasn't him because he put blackface on before because he tried to dress up like Michael Jackson. Then they asked him. You see when they asked him because he and he was getting ready to do it. And his wife said, "In his inappropriate timing? Oh, yo, you was in blackface killing him. Yo, you probably put that blackface on and did Billie Jean all night long, boy. I'm sure that
this, Billie Jean.
Hey, man. It's sickening, right? He out here wilding. Then it's like, I'm like, bet. You know, the black dude won the lieutenant governor. Yo, he out here getting accused of sexual assault. Yeah. Like, yo. And then they got him on there talking about this bitch is lying and all this. I'm like, bruh, you need to get up out the paint. Yo, I mean.
Straight up out the paint, all the way. No charge, no flagrant foul. Just out the damn paint.
Yo, and then the kicker, bruh. The attorney general in Virginia had the blackface on in college. He said he was trying to dress like Curtis Blow. Like, what the fuck? Yo, what is
that? All the words.
Yo, blackface is my favorite sport. And then put it on the General Lee did this all day. Get the fuck up out of here, bro. Like, yo, who am I? I mean, like, yo, you couldn't put the jacket on like Curtis Blow with the curl and the gold chain with the members only jacket with no shirt. That I'm like, yo, you a white Curtis Blow, you good. Why you got to take the blackface to the next level? And I've asked other white people this, and of course they always say, that's abhorrent. I would never do such a thing. But I don't understand, what's the blackface, like, phenomenon? Like, I know, you know, people did it, you know, minstrel times, but I don't understand why people do it now. Hell, they just got a White House correspondent. Hell, she dressed up with the mini blackface, and like she was Elizabeth Warren. And she talking about she did this as a teenager. Hell, that photo was stamped in 2018. So, I don't know, man. Like, do you understand what white people, what's the obsession with blackface?
I have no idea. I have no way of explaining it, have no way of trying to even fathom what the thought process is, except for the fact that it's an extreme way for them to try to, mimic or in their mind, mimic or stereotype a black person. But at the same time, I think that many of them know that what the underhanded meaning is, and they do it just to have that underhanded meaning and then say, oh, it was innocent. I didn't mean that. I didn't have that intent. So, nonetheless, we all know that it's bull. We all know that it's not okay, and so do they. So, yeah.
It's just like I don't know what it is about the love of blackface. And speaking of blackface, you know, shout out to the homie. Does your brother go by his government, or does he got some other name? I don't want to blow him up.
Oh, C Breezy.
Yeah. So I saw this story.
C Breezy.
I saw it the other day. Then, you know, he's put it out as a, hey, can you talk about it? So that's one thing. You can always hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, or email. All the stuff will be in the description of the episode. So Gucci, yeah, man. You know, I know
shout people out to love, my brother, man.
Yeah, shout out to him. He's a young lord. So Gucci, right? So they got the sweater. You know, they got the sweater. It's like, I can't even describe it. It's ugly as hell, but it looks like black.
It is ugly.
Like, it's like a turtleneck.
It's like a long-ass turtleneck. It's like a turtleneck that comes up your nose.
Yeah, but then it has, like, red around the mouth. Like, you know, like we talked about in blackface. Like, you know, people was paint their skin extremely black and they put red lipstick on because they said black people have red lips. And I don't have red lips. I'm a jingles. I got pink lips. So, but, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, yo, it's crazy. So, you know, Gucci out there talking about we didn't know this was racist. I'm like, bruh, like, yo, y'all didn't see this? It's right. Just like people like
you, like you knew what it was, and I, like I said, that's it's just like I said just a minute ago. It's like you do something and like, oh well, you know, I didn't know or didn't realize or didn't know it was going to look like that or didn't realize it was going to have that effect. For you to even have the idea that even closely resembles it is wrong. You knew what the hell you were doing, Gucci. I can't fuck with you.
And this
I'm gonna need Soulja Boy to boycott and stop wearing the damn Gucci headband.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that Gucci headband smells like all the nasty sweat of he ain't washed. You know how you know these cats? Because Soulja Boy has got that look like he might not shower. Remember on the Bone, what was that Bone video when they had the Mo Thugs compilation? Dude, just got out to take a shower and went to the video shoot. That's how I imagine Soulja Boy is with that nasty headband on and that fashionista sweatsuit that he wore like on 8 different places. You know,
not fashionista. Blackface.
Yeah.
Blackface.
Yeah. So I'm sure that mug smells horrible. So, and speaking of one last thing, I know this kind of goes back to Mayo and Twizzler, but, you know, you can follow in between. So I read something the other day in the Long Island, the New York, the Brooklyn Nets, they have an NBA G League affiliate. So it's Black History Month. So they pick somebody to pick every day, every week, who to celebrate for Black History Month. So guess who they pick, bro?
Who's this?
They pick Becky Hammon, assistant coach of the San Antonio Spurs. I kid you not, bro. Yo, Becky Hammon, and y'all think like, well, and it's not because it's a woman. Becky Hammon is white and Russian.
I was going to say, isn't she Russian? I was going to say that. For Black History Month, we celebrating the white Russian woman?
Yeah, I mean, hell, she got the bloodline maybe closely aligned with Putin, but you're going to celebrate her on Black History Month. Yo, wow. Nuts. Like I said, man, you know,
that's so, mad crazy.
You know, it's crazy. So, I mean, white folks, y'all been out here wilding this week. I don't know. Like, you know, yeah, man, y'all need a seance or something like that. Y'all need some anointing oil, you know, and I sell that too. We sell these sweatshirts and everything else. I sell that too. I'm a hustler. So, you know, y'all want to get that mayo off of you and get them twisters out your ass. Holler at Mike J on Twitter, Bill Bro Inc., you know, holler grown man ish pie. You know what I'm saying? I sell you that for the low. You know what I'm talking about? You dig. I'm out here making dreams happen, man, and out here trying to change life one male and one Twizzler at a time. You dig?
You're just swiping holy oil, holy aioli. That's what you call it.
Hey, take that aioli, rub it on their forehead. You know, you bless them with a Twizzler. You know what I'm saying? Or you bring Jeff Bezos in to have him send the drone out, you know, with the hammer, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine Jeff sending your queen something with the drone from Amazon? He's out here sending a big boy diamond ring or something like that, but dropped by the drone, talking about your man can't. Here comes Jeff patting pictures of him with the hammer out, dog, with the Amazon photo album. Yo, just crazy. Yo, man, that is nuts. But, man, speaking of nuts, man, what's up with that Super Bowl, bro? What do you think about Super Bowl, man?
Super Bowl was okay. I don't mind watching seeing a defensive game. I know a lot of people want to see high-scoring points up and down the field, you know, all that type of stuff, which is cool. I mean, I don't have a preference one or the other. I thought it was a solid game from a defensive standpoint, and it was just one of those things that came down to coaching and you know, the person, somebody's ability to make a play. And Mike J and I were talking in the group chat, and I said the same thing. I was like, you can't give Tom Brady too many damn chances, but he's going to open it up. And sure enough, that's what happened.
He didn't even play that good.
So he didn't. He didn't play that good at all. He didn't play that good. Goff was rancid. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, it was just literally the defense.
I told y'all boys about Jared Goff. That dude ain't nothing but a more athletic Kirk Cousins with less mental capability. My man forgot the snap count. How the quarterback gonna forget the snap count?
Right. I noticed that.
So let me ask
you. Like I said, the actual game, you know, it was cool. I was disappointed in everything else that surrounds the Super Bowl. Everybody always talks about the ads and the $1 million, $1 billion ads and all that type of stuff and movie trailers and all that. Like, the ads were trash. The only one that was cool, that was good, was the NFL one, the football one. That was dope.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of that, like, it wasn't really nothing popping. You know, I'm a big movie person. You know, they had the other little teaser trailer for Avengers Endgame, which was cool. You know, I was still excited about that, but I'm excited about that in general. But I would expect, you know, there to be more, you know, like quote unquote used to be. Like, it used to be an event, not just the game, but like, again, the ads, the movie trailers and all that type of stuff. Man, it was just whack. And that damn halftime show, straight flaming garbage. They could have kept that. And I'm a Maroon 5 fan. And I'm a Big Boy fan. I'm a Dungeon Family fan. Like, I like all of the acts. But I was like, man, this shit was trash.
Yeah, terrible. They could have this. I mean, Big Boy, he did come out there with Kryptonite. And then they did say he said ATL ho. So he represented for his 30 seconds he was on the stage.
Yeah.
But Travis Scott, man, I'm not a Travis Scott fan. I'm not a Maroon 5 fan. I'm
not a Travis Scott fan, but I like Maroon 5.
It was like a full of mayo. Like, this Super Bowl was like full of mayo. Like, the Patriots are like the whitest team in the league. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, yo, it's just like, yo, they got the white running back. And this is nothing against white people. I'm just saying they are like the whitest of white. Look at Patriot fans. Either it's like super like Ricky Stroud, the white boys, or a few brothers and jumped on them because they were winning Super Bowls, right? And you can't hate, you know, Belichick's greatest coach of all time. But, yo, the game was, like, trash. I was like, oh, because y'all were in a group chat. He was like, are you watching this? I'm like, yeah. That was it. Like, yeah. And there was nothing out of it. It's like, I don't mind a defensive game, but it wasn't, like, a fast, hard. It was just, like, the Rams were in it. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't, like, it's not like the Patriots. They have a good defense. They don't have, like, a great defense. It's not like the 2000 Ravens when they beat my Giants in the Super Bowl and they had, like, an all-time great defense. That I can take the individual brilliance of some players and players as a team. That's great. This game is inept, and I wasn't feeling it. But it was trash. But to me, and we'll transition to the NBA. The NBA, man, stole the week. All the Anthony Davis talk and everything else. Yo, man, it stole the week. So I wasn't even excited about the Super Bowl. It was just more like, oh, it's on TV. But if it had been like something else I really wanted to watch on TV, probably would have caught that because I wasn't feeling it, man. This was right. So let's get to this trade deadline. Yeah,
I was going to say, man, we need to go ahead and get into this NBA action then.
So, you know, let's start it off. AD is, you know, still with the Pelicans, man. You know, it seems like the Pelicans, you know, they tried to have it. It's like they did more grandstanding and everything else, but wasn't making the trade. Do you think they're going to get a better deal in the summer?
I can't say they're going to get a better deal in the summer because now teams are seeing that they are pretty much trying to just highway rob you. Yeah. I mean, they are going to try to ask for the world. Literally, they want you to give some moon rocks and some other crap for AD. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, AD's one of the best players in the league. You know, I'm taking nothing away from him, but just from what the Pelicans are trying to, you know, finagle from other teams, I don't think a lot of teams are going to bite on it. But then, too, you know, they lose as time progresses, they lose a little bit of that because he doesn't want to play there.
Yeah.
You know, he could go Le'Veon Bell status. It's kind of be like, he can't really
do it.
I'm not saying the exact thing. I'm just saying, like, you know, I got a shoulder tendonitis or I got this. And, you know, kind of – you know what I'm saying? But as it progresses, he doesn't want to be there. They already took him off of all their little, you know, pregame stuff, and they're taking posters down of him around the city and all this and all that. So y'all already are prepared, you know, don't want him to be there, acting like he's not there anyway. So just go ahead and get rid of him. Why would you want to keep that in your locker room? But I say that to say I think many other teams know that. Many other teams see that, and they're going to be like, yeah, well, you know, we'll just be a little bit more patient and wait until he's an unrestricted free agent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that the Pelicans are going all about it wrong. If there's a guy that doesn't want to be there, why would I want to just hold on to him just to hold on to him? I know he's probably the most talented big man in the league. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to hold on just to be like, ah, well, I'm keeping him, and this is my point to prove, or he'll come around and play for us. No, if he doesn't want to be there, I don't need that in my locker room. Yeah.
6 years. 6 years. I mean, then people, they get on the whole, Michael Jordan didn't want this, Michael Jordan didn't want that. Michael Jordan also had a front office that drafted a Hall of Fame, traded for a Hall of Fame player on draft night in Scottie Pippen. They have guys that fit around Jordan's game. They picked up the best European player in the game, and then they picked up, and then they were able to get Dennis Rodman for peanuts, who's a Hall of Famer. You can keep guys, but you have to build around them. That's on the front office. So I'm not mad if you have an inept front office and they want to leave. But man, speaking of the Lakers, bro, so they won last night. But you know who's been back on TV, bro? You know who's back?
Who you talking about?
LeVar. You ain't see LeVar out here wilding?
Yeah, I saw LeVar.
LeVar out here talking about the Lonzo's better than LeBron. And now Luke turned them into losers. And they ain't following LeBron. Yeah. Like, LeVar came back on the Undisputed show with a felt hat on, a big ball hat and some water. talking about this is
Big Baller Bird.
You know, they was like, yo, I want my boy to go to Phoenix. Then you get Jello. Then you get Melo. Then you win the championships. Like,
wow.
Where are we winning this at?
I mean, Melo might be able to come in and be a solid role player in the league. I think that he has a chance to maybe make it to the league. But Jello?
No. The quote Biggie Smalls, you know, UPS is hiring. Fuck hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Get up out of here, dog. He should have.
Jello. Yeah,
no.
That's not going to work out.
Not at all. I mean, and I'm not knocking because he's way better than I ever could be in sports, but it's just like, yo, not everybody's an NBA player. It's only, is it like, what, 400 players in NBA? Like, you know, it's just only, that's the best in the world. And he is not one of them. I don't think he'd be the best in college basketball. I don't think he'd be best outside the Power Five. I just, you know, you just don't have it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. So, but LeVar's back and talking crazy, man. So, you know, LeBron is probably, daddy LeBron probably heated. So, you know, he probably hear LeVar talking all that crust stuff, man. But let me ask you this, man. So, what do you think was the best? What do you think of your best deadline deals? I got two in my head, so we'll probably have the same ones.
I don't know. You're just saying just like the best overall?
Well, I'm just saying like because I don't think our – because, you know, I listen want to get into every minutia of every trade. But, like, right. What are your favorite deadline deals? How about that?
I like the Tobias Harris deal. I think that both parties, the Sixers and the Clippers, both get a little bit of what they want, what they need. Clippers are getting a little bit of cap space. I like Wilson Chandler. I like Wilson Chandler as a player. So I think they got a guy. But I think that Tobias Harris and low key Boban Marjanovic are going to be big for the 76ers. Tobias is going to give them, you know, a great all around talent, but some killer shooting. But I think Boban is going to be that guy that's going to – you're not going to drop off too much. I'm not saying he's on Embiid's level, but Boban is a solid guy that's almost starter-worthy, you know what I mean, in other places. So I think that those two – and I'm not taking away from Mike Scott either. Mike Scott's a good 3D guy. But I really think the Tobias Harris deal is good for both teams. I liked that trade. As a Bulls fan, I liked getting Otto Porter. I know his contract is huge, but at the same time, he gives the Bulls something that we kind of need. He's a good compliment to
hope. I ain't got no hope. I'm shutting that shit down. Y'all ain't got no hope. I'm Thanos Thanos to y'all. Y'all done.
I mean, that's
a lot better than Patriots. Nah, I ain't gonna do it. I'm just go ahead and talk this stuff, King.
Nah, it's just one of them things. I think Otto Porter brings a little bit of what we need. He's a good piece to build around. Markkanen, I think he'll complement Dunn and Levine. I mean, like I said, I like that trade. We got a lot of guys up front. We lost Bobby Portis, who was solid. You know, two piece Bobby was, you know, a beast on the court and off the court. But I think that was a good deal for the Bulls.
Arkansas, yeah.
Hey man, he was melting boys. Melting boys.
Hey, yeah, shout out to it.
Yeah, man. So I think that those trades, but I honestly like the Knicks and the Mavericks deal too. I think that, you know, of course you got the unicorn Porzingis, but I think keys for the Mavericks, I think it's Tim Hardaway Jr. and Burke. I think that they are going to be impactful, you know, guys for that team. You know, especially with Luka and some of the other guys they still got there. But I also like the Knicks, man. Knicks got a little – they freed up a little bit of money. But Dennis Smith Jr. is a baller, man, and so is Wesley Matthews, which I think he ultimately got cut or waived.
He got bought out. He's on the Pacers now.
Okay. But Dennis Smith Jr. is a baller, and I think that this is a good move. It would be a good move for him. Like, now's the time for him to really just get out and flex, you know, without Dirk, without Luka and all that. But I think he's a good piece. I can't think of the young brother that they draft, the Knicks drafted on draft night. But he's like
Kevin
a
Knox. Kevin Knox.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Burke and Knox are a good young core. Like I said, are the Knicks going to be compete for a championship? No. But I think that they are going in the right direction, especially
like
freeing up some money.
40.
Yeah. Like I said, they're freeing up some cap space too with that, so they could try to go after two max guys. You know, you got the rumors out there of Durant and Kyrie wanting to team up out there. But again, like I said, I think it works good for both teams and those players. So those are probably my three favorite. The illest trade was damn Harrison Barnes.
Oh yeah,
he got traded mid game.
They got him out the box, man. I mean, how would you? I wouldn't even know how to react to that, man. Well, I know earlier we talked about before the show started how inviting somebody to your inseams is really disrespectful. Yo, if I'm Harrison Barnes, I might have to invite Mark Cuban to the inseam. Like, bro, you trying to be mid game? You couldn't have been like, yo, look, come to the back. You know, at least have some dignity. So that's all Harrison Barnes, former North Carolina Tar Heel, is gonna be known for is being traded mid game.
During the game, yeah.
Yo, man. So it's crazy, bro. And one last thing, we can move on.
I was gonna say if I was Harrison Barnes in that situation, oh boy, I would be like a mid career Iverson and Kobe. I'm taking every damn shot. I'm not. Ain't nobody else touching the ball. Anytime I'm on the damn court, I'm taking every damn thing. I'm pulling up from the damn half mark. I don't give a damn. If I was Harrison Barnes, I'd be that damn ill. I'd be setting screens on my own guys. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, man.
I'm definitely doing the Bel Air prep Will Smith offense for that. And then after that, I'm taking the jersey off, throwing it on the ground. I ain't throwing it into the crowd to the fans. It ain't my fans no more. Yeah, I'm just taking that off, man. I'm leaving everything, all Maverick stuff on the floor and walking off and jumping into
I might do that that kid from House Party gesture toward Mark Cuban. I get your girl on my lap.
yo, man. I was listening to Ain't My Type of Hype in my office the other day. Yo,
get Ain't My Type of Hype, baby.
The seven minute version. Do you look good? Not the 4 minute one.
My man said, "You look so fine." Why do you say fine like that?
And the difference is, man, like full force was like full, like super swole too with a curl and when wearing tank tops. Yo, that's like, yo, can you imagine? Like, yo, man, fuck full for you. You hear them niggas talking and everything. Like, yo, man, I'm going to meet you somewhere. Yo, let's square up. Here come full force. You know what I'm saying? Dudes out here with tank tops and gold chains on singing melodies. I'm like, oh, you can get yourself in some shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, hey, real quick before we jump off of NBA, man, I want to get your opinion, man, on Markelle Fultz, man, being traded.
Oh, man, I think it's gonna be a good thing for him. It's just like in baseball when you get a prospect who has all the talent in the world, and then something happens, and they're in a big city, and they go to a small city, and they kind of rebound. I think he has the potential to do that, man. I think he had some injuries, and then he got the yips. Now all that pressure in Philadelphia, no one's gonna care about him in Orlando, because who cares about Orlando? Can you name five players on Orlando? I can't. I mean,
I said, you got Mo Bamba, you got Vucevic, and them was the only ones that I can really think of on that damn squad.
You got the dude Isaac. What I'm saying is, there's nobody important there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know Mo Bamba for the damn song. You know what I'm saying? And he got a long Mo wingspan. Bamba.
But hey, I like Mo Bamba when he's at Texas, though. Mo Bamba needs to get more burn.
Saying, he's hurt now. But what I'm saying is,
he's hurt, yeah.
Yeah, but what do you really know? You couldn't say, oh, damn, look at that move Mo Bamba put on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's freakishly tall with the long arms. But yeah, I think Markelle Fultz, man, I think it'd be good going somewhere that no pressure, you can rehab and then play, and no one's going to pay attention to him. So, yeah. I mean, he has all the talent in the world. I ain't never seen anybody just lose talent like that. It's not like I thought he was chipping the number one pick when he got drafted. Some people are like, no, I shouldn't have thought they said Markelle Fultz was a better player in college. It's just, who's going to know that somebody's going to get hurt and have the yips? You can't predict that.
Right.
So, let's get to this music thing, man. So, first, we'll talk about 21 Savage. And, man, when I first read this, I was like, what? And then, to see my man is from London. And man, Ice picked him up. And then it was just like, I ain't gonna lie, I was making jokes about it. Like, he should be rapping God Bless the Queen. And he should be doing the James Bond theme song, But then you start thinking,
I've been trying to tell you, man, the UK rap scene is something serious, man. I've been telling you.
You take that tea and crumpets ass shit and get out of here. You know, 21 Savage has been over in the States for like 15 years. I ain't trying to hear no niggas rap that sound like Lennox Lewis. You know what I'm saying? Fuck out of here with that, man.
Missing out, bro.
Hey, I will miss out on that one. You know what I'm saying? That's like a white person telling me I need to miss out on adding extra mayo to my Subway sandwich. I am good. You know what I'm saying? I am good. And this ain't the Jesse Smollett Subway sandwich. This is the real deal. And we'll, you know, wow. But
wow.
No, man. Because, yo, I'm just saying that, yo, you hear my man Jussie Smollett said he was the gay version of Tupac?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, man, he got on the concert, right? And he was like, I'm the gay version of Tupac. And I don't care if he's gay or not. But I'm like, yo, why all y'all, like, Troy Aff said he was a version of Tupac. I feel like all the people who fought they had a version of Tupac need to have a battle royale where they fight to the death to see who was the real Tupac Jr. Because he didn't have any kids. So I just thought that was funny.
Wow.
But back to 21.
Dude's drawing Thug Life on their stomach.
Yeah, man. I know, right? Yo, I got a nose ring. Me too. You know what I'm saying? I've been shot. Damn. Me too. Yeah, I got jumped. But it's crazy, man, about the 21 Savage thing. But I ain't gonna lie, I did laugh. But now, you know, I found out my man has 3 kids in the States, and I couldn't imagine like not being with my kids. You know what I'm saying? I done made a life here. I'm making money. I'm making money for these corporations, and I got to go. And then my parents brought me over here as a kid, and he was trying to get a visa put in. Like, yeah, he had his visa application already set. You know, or he had applied for a visa. So. Hold your head, 21 Savage, man. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that's crazy, bro. But
yeah, man. I was thrown off too. I was just like, man, like they really went after this cat.
Yeah. So I went back to his discography. Man, I heard some cuts. Like I like Bank Account, but I went and listened to that his last album. I think it's I Am or whatever it's called. Yo, he got some pretty bangers on that mug. But I was checking it out last week before the Super Bowl came on.
But, you know, let me ask you this, because I've seen it on pretty much every social media platform, you know, conspiracy theorist. So Chris Brown, you know, got the rights to all his masters, and then all of a sudden he has the issue that he had. And then, you know, 21 Savage was an individual that got the rights to his masters, and now this.
I didn't know he got his masters. I know he had he added those verses about immigration on the night show. I didn't know he got his masters.
Yeah, I saw it posted. I believe it was on some rap thing from Twitter. But anyway, a lot of conspiracy theorists out there talking about, oh, you know, this and that, you know, just had to get you out of there, or, you know, same thing that happened to Prince and this and that, you know what I mean? So what's your take on all this conspiracy theory type stuff surrounding that?
I just think this is 2 separate incidents. Cause they also said 21 Savage got caught. They were looking after somebody else, and he just kind of just got caught in being in the car with some, you know, being around somebody. And the Chris Brown situation, it's kind of like, you know, Chris Brown, you know, you kind of went, you know, you was able to get out of some stuff when you was out here wild and had that incident with Rihanna. I think those are just 2 separate incidents, you know. You know, unless somebody, you know, you brought up Prince, unless somebody got Prince hooked on pain pills. I mean, if Prince was more, you know, it's going to be worth a lot being dead, but still, they still could have been releasing music from the vault and him making new music. So Prince was always going to be making a lot of money for people, for himself and other people. So I don't know. Some conspiracy theories I do believe. I'm not one of these people who thinks everything on the surface is right, but sometimes I think people be reaching, especially people on social media, feel like they're just trying to get a retweet or a like or something like that. So I don't know. I don't really get into that. But speaking of Chris Brown and Mr. 21 Savage, did you see what went on with Chris Brown and Offset?
Man.
Yo,
man, I'm telling you, I had no idea how this even escalated or got to this point, man. All of a sudden, I just start seeing the memes and then start seeing them going back and forth with each other. I think Offset, like, posted Chris Brown's, like, real address somewhere on Twitter or on Instagram or something like that. Yeah, I saw that this morning. I'm like, oh, damn, this really escalated. Like, what the hell?
Hey, man.
And I still have no idea why they really beefing, man.
For those who don't know, 21 Savage and Offset, they had an album together. So I guess I would assume they're friends. And then Chris Brown, like, had a meme, and Offset called him a lame. And next thing you know, Chris Brown was, you know, calling him a pussy and talking about, I'll fight you and suck my dick. Excuse my language. And then he said Offset. And then Chris Brown did something that's really vile and nasty. He said my man Offset looked like Pootie Tang. So... That was unnecessary, sir. You have to say that. I mean, it's one thing to invite somebody to your Johnson. Another thing is that man looked like Pootie Tang was out of bounds, sir. You know what I'm saying? But so who? All right. So let me ask you a question, bro. Who wins the fight? Offset or Chris Brown?
Oh damn. Is this a fight where they just squared up one on one?
Squared up.
You ain't got to worry about takeoff coming out of nowhere.
No blouses from Quavo or anybody else. No jumping in from Joe Budden. This is just an Offset and Chris Brown one on one. No Cruz. Offset.
I'm probably gonna go with Offset because Offset is kind of one of them cats that's just like, I ain't got shit to lose. Like, I could see Offset biting a nigga. You know what I'm saying? I could just see him just in that. I know he's, you know, he's the blouse king and all that type of stuff, but I really do think that Offset might get Chris Brown. I think Chris Brown, you know, got him on the reach. You know, Chris Brown's like, they have 7'2". Yeah. You know, but I think Chris Brown might have him on the reach. Chris Brown might have him on the stamina with all that dancing and stuff. Yeah. So he could probably. But I really do think that Offset might get him just because Offset ain't got nothing to lose. I can see him, like, trying to gouge the eyes with his nose. I can see him trying to bite him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see Offset just going, like, all out.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. I got a formula that I put on Twitter. Light skin.
Oh, here
plus
you
the
go.
Booger sugar equals beige. and Bowtie's one. He's one of them light bright niggas. He gets beige rage too. So you never know, man. You never know what beige rage can do. They get emotional about the stuff that you don't think is emotional. Like, I think calling somebody a lame wouldn't invite, you know, me one time I pull up, I'm gonna fight you. But you know, I don't know, man. But then again, Offset, he asked his queen for marriage counseling, and she told him no. So, you know, he definitely is on that I can't go back all stars. He's going out for the kill. So I would pay to see it. And I don't advocate violence, but, you know, if they want to square up, you know, throw the gloves on, get a little sparring action on. Hey, I don't feel like nothing's wrong with that. You know, I just feel like
RJ out here promoting colorism within the black community.
We all can't be beige, sir. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Both are that type of light skin, though, like in the 20s and stuff, and us regular skin blacks, the mulattoes like Bowtie, y'all was able to get y'all house somewhere and all that type of stuff. And you know, I'm sure you probably go back to your family lineage and everything. Y'all probably had on, you know, them old black people, they just had them finger waves, them old black men had them old finger waves and stuff. That's that Bowtie lineage. We're different from that, actually. Boy get a pocket watch and get to work in the bank instead of, you know, bro like me had to work outside the bank. He closed that pocket watch, you know, square up his little tie and his little Brooks Brothers suit from 1925, and he's ready to go.
Look at this kappa.
look at these people out of here. We're gonna stay away from them. But yeah, man, I don't see nothing wrong with two cats throwing the gloves on. But let me ask you this, man.
Yeah, let them throw the gloves on, man. I pay $15 to see it if I, you know, $15 cover charge on some wings. I watch them two go at it. Fair fight with the gloves on. You know, whoever lose, you dap it up and move on about your day.
Yeah, man. So, also, I wanted to run something by you last week. I forgot. Two things. One, what the hell's up with the game acting like a lame? He's like a sucker, man. It's like, Damn. That's like sucker behavior. Like, bro, he's just lame as hell. Like, who does that? And number two, did you see that thing with A-Rod and when Jennifer Lopez had the picture and Diddy said, OMG, here come A-Rod talking about wow. And A-Rod's her dude. If you A-Rod, man, you gotta hit Diddy up like, yo, man, what's your deal, man? Are you dirty macking? What's your deal, man? You gotta hit Diddy up or you gotta approach him, you know what I'm saying, pull him to the side.
I don't know, man. A-Rod's a different type of dude. A-Rod might invite Diddy over for a little, you know, a little three-way action.
Oh, not the truffle.
A little Sharesies. Sharesies.
Yeah. I can say A-Rod, is that all you shine? Yeah. Yeah. A-Rod type.
I'm just saying, man. I think A-Rod might, you know. I don't think he'd be allegedly.
We ain't trying to get sued. But yeah, I don't know, man.
I can see A-Rod calling Sharesies. I can see Diddy being down with it too. Like, all right, cool.
Can't stop, won't stop. So let me ask you this, man. So if you, you know, you
get off it now, get off.
So let me ask you this. So if it, you know, you got your queen out here, your queen's on social media, my queen's on social media, and when you seen her ex time and she posted a picture and her ex said, wow. Yo, how would you respond to dude?
I don't know. Like, I would probably think he's thirsty or dirty macking. I'm not going to be like, oh, this nigga is whatever. Like, because to me, it's no different from if I'm out, you know, if I'm out with a lady or, you know what I mean, and dudes is like staring or like, oh, you know what I mean, like looking hard and, you know, all that type of stuff. Or let's say that you know, she goes into a store and I'm not initially there with her, and dude's trying to, you know, Mac to her or whatnot, or run up on her, and I come through. To me, it's no different. You know, I'm a take it as a compliment, like, oh yeah, you know, you like what I got, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I think
I don't. I'll tell
if,
you,
it's if it's disrespectful, if it gets to a point of disrespect, then we're gonna have a problem.
Well, but, it's the only reason I say it's different because hey, that's the ex, and he made a song about it. He made "I Need a Girl Part One," "I Need a Girl Part Two." It was about her. You know, hell, you A-Rod, you ain't making "I Need a Girl." You know what I'm saying? You ain't making that. The only thing you is talking about hitting steroid home runs. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Well, that's the truth. That ain't no last thing. He ain't got popped for the roids. So I don't know. I just wanted to get your opinion about that. But man, so 20, I said, you know, shout out to DMX. He just got out of jail recently. So it's 20, they're doing like a 20-year anniversary for his Dark and Hell is High tour. And it's coming to Naptown on March 10th. I feel like we should try. It's a Sunday.
I might have to be there.
It's a Sunday. So
yeah. Your boy Bowtie Fresh is gonna be at the concert this weekend. I'm going to me and I'm going to see L. Varner and Marsha Ambrosius this Sunday. Ho ho! Naptown is live.
All right. So let me ask you this. So it's 20 years, and you know we went to see a DMX concert.
It's like, man, one that was
of the livest concerts ever, man. It was the
Rough Riders
Cash Money Tour.
Yo,
my man DMX came to the number one Cash Money. They came on stage in a helicopter, like from the rafters.
From the rafters.
And DMX came out in a cage, and yo, he ripped that shit the whole time. Then he was like, if y'all motherfuckers ain't gonna get up, I'm leaving. Yo was like live the whole time. But
hey bro, that was honestly the boy probably the top two concerts I'd have been to. Probably the best concert I'd have been to, man. Yeah, the only other concert that I really put up there that was just like that live and ill, but like just that hype, was that damn No Limit concert. That was a damn ill ass concert too, bro. But anyway, that Cash Money Rough Ride concert, that goes down in Naptown history.
Yeah, man. So shout out to DMX. So and speaking of 1999,
when Drag On came out. Yeah. You remember Drag On came out there?
Oh yeah, Drag On had a few cuts. You know, I still listen to Down Bottom every now and then. Do them niggas bust their gun? Yeah, right. You know,
they bust their gun.
He killed that shit. Hey man, you know, one of the first times I heard that out, man, I bought it. And it's crazy. I used to listen to that mug, and I was at the Career Center at LN, and shout out to Paris Oliver. Paris had a car, so I was like, "Yo, man, I got that rough ride." Pete. He's like, "You want to ride?" So Pete throw it in the car. You know, we'd be blasting and going them two blocks from McKenzie to LN, but still, man,
McKenzie to LN.
Hey, man, shout out to Pete. I ain't seen that dude in a long time, man. So shout out to Pete.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, so there was also, before we jump on the Grammys and then we can get up out of here, they were talking about like 1999, 20 years to this day. Dog, they had that damn Tear the Club Up Thugs with the, you know, hitting as high as Cash Money. It's been 20 years to this day.
One
of my favorite songs of all
bro.
All that mug is jamming.
Hey, man, my man, K, you didn't fuck with the wrong nigga. Yeah. Let him know that I ride and I shoot quicker. Yeah. You should have known not to upset this little nigga. Yeah. You got a click, so what, nigga? My click thicker. Hey, man, that was a cut.
Nah, that was off of Ballers. Yeah, that was off of Ballers. That was off the Ballers remix. No, Hypnotize Cash Money. Playing while you hating. Playing while you hating.
Oh yeah.
He was like, yeah. It's the juice coming about the dog.
Hey man, yeah. juice man, come out with that damn. little background noises. Hey man, that was a cut.
Then here, baby out here talking about murdering his foes. Niggas be riding niggas. Why? I sigh for niggas when I die for Slim, my man, my hot boy click. But damn,
Sugar
baby.
Slim.
But you robbed all them niggas, though. You know what I'm saying? The only nigga you didn't rob was Slim. I mean, all them niggas, you didn't pay them the money.
Sugar Slim.
Hey, but yeah, man, so that's been 20 years to this day. It's gonna be some dope albums have been like 20 years to this day. So we'll talk about them as they come along, man. But you know, I was talking to the homeboy DJ Dave, aka David Porter, the dude who knows everybody in Naptown. We was talking on the Instagram. Talking about how these kids don't know the the perils of driving on 30 on 38 with your CD book, you know, on your lap, trying to have the perfect mix as you cruising in the hood.
Right.
Yo, man. So that was, I mean, that's the thing now with MP3s. Like, oh, you just pop in your phone or whatever. But, you know, throw that out, man. You know, put that big ass CD book, and everybody had one. You know, some people then, you know, you bring in the book from your car to somebody else's, the little small one. Yo, man.
Yeah.
These kids, cats, not know about the perils of having hey, on your leg while you whipping corners.
That was the original pass the auxiliary cord.
Yeah, man.
For real. Pass the aux. That was the original right there, man. For real.
Crazy. So, yeah, man. So shout out to them cats, man. So let me ask you this, bro. Before you know, let me ask you this, man. So Grammys. I know are you gonna watch it?
Probably not.
I'm surprised. Not. your girl is hosting.
Who, Alicia Keys?
Yeah.
I'm probably still not gonna watch it. I mean, because the Grammys, For me, the Grammys is, I mean, it's cool, you know. It's just okay for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not one of those things where it's gonna be a lot of people and music and stuff that I like. You know what I mean? So I mean, I'm just kind of like, yeah. Like, I had no disrespect or anything like that. It's just kind of like, yeah, it's all right.
You know, surprised. To
me, because it's predictable. Because I'm sure Cardi B is going to win. I'm sure Drake's going to win. I'm sure that somehow, some way, they're going to incorporate Beyonce into getting an award. I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like, it's very much so. Like, you already know what's going to happen. So it's like, yeah, what's the point of even watching it? And most of the performances are like, yeah, it's all right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. Oh, I don't know.
I am shocked. This is a grown man. It's because usually Bowtie is the type of cat that I'm usually the one like, I ain't watching that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm blatant what I don't like. Hell, you know. But that's crazy. So man, so shout out to the Grammys. I'm probably not gonna watch. This is not my thing. But you know, it'll be on. So we'll definitely probably talk about the winners next week, man. So like I said, I'm like Issa Rae. I'm rooting for everybody black. Ain't gonna lie to y'all. So you know what I'm saying? So, and that's what's going on there, man. But hey, bro, what's
young Issa?
Yeah, it seems like we're at the end of this thing, bro. So you can go ahead and just give us a quote, bro, and we can go wrap this thing on up.
No doubt, man. So Bowtie Fresh leaving y'all with a little something this week, kind of helping get the 2019 started and just kind of keep everybody moving forward. So the quote is, sometimes the smallest step in the right direction ends up being the biggest step of your life. Tiptoe if you must, but take the step. And that's leaving that right there. Let that sizzle in your spirit and mosey on throughout the work week and throughout this year. And thanks to y'all for rocking with the Grown Man Ish podcast. And hit us up on, you know, Twitter and the Instagram, or, you know, continue to send listener letters and all that type of stuff. And, you know, we'll connect with y'all and one love, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And when Bowtie, he gave that quote, the first thing I think about, that must be a quote for James Harden when he does that step back three when he's taking like six steps. So,
you know what I'm saying? Tiptoe if you must, James. Yeah. Tiptoe if you must.
Hey, man. Also, man, shout out, you know, I read the other day Bill Cosby's moving to Gen Pop, man. So, you know, we talked about in the last episode that he's become a Heath Cliff Huxtable and they come to his cell for medical stuff. So now Heath Cliff is gonna be able to help boys out in Gen Pop too, man. So I'm sure that one eye, that golden eye that look like on a roulette board that don't work, I'm sure that bad boy's gonna be spinning when they throwing them milks at Bill. So shout out,
man. I hope Bill don't run into Buddha, you know, having to owe anybody 15 bucks.
Bill Gray become a Muslim on y'all. Bill Gray level up, y'all. And I want, and speaking of Muslim, what you think about Farrakhan becoming a Q?
Random as hell, but you know, respect to the honorable, you know, Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, always a lot of respect to that brother. So, you know, so be it. Maybe it's just something it was on his bucket list and something he wanted to do. I don't know.
Yo, can you imagine them trying to haze Farrakhan when the fruits is there? Yo, that shit ain't
happening. It's not going to happen.
Not at all. Yo.
Hey, they might have to just, look, Farrakhan said, I'm going to be a Q. They just hand over the, you know, their little gold boots and just hand it over. All right, done deal. It's over. You ain't hazing Farrakhan. You ain't gonna get close enough to Farrakhan. Fruits ain't having that.
I was really surprised Farrakhan wasn't a captain with that damn light skin and part in his head. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. Hey, hold on. Speaking of, we talked about mulattoes earlier. Bowtie is Farrakhan and your lineage. You know, y'all got that same skin. And, you know, you look like you're going to get a part when you turn 50. Go ahead, man. You already got the hoop.
Hey, man, we got a great bloodline. That's all I'm going to say.
A little lighter than the rest, huh? One S curl at a time. But, yo, man, but we appreciate it, man. We rocking with us, you know what I'm saying? Let me get off here, man. You know, thanks for being all the love and everything. Appreciate y'all the prayers. You know, we've been going through our whole family situation, but you know, we appreciate y'all. We love doing this. So it's Friday, you know, so I'm going to drop this. Hopefully this mug will be out in about 20, 25 minutes. You know, this is real time. And we'll holler at y'all next week. Later.
Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.